Florida, call. Little bit more, Z, where are you? You near Stanford?
A town right now known as Hound Ridge. Hound Ridge. It is Westchester County.
Hope we are pick up. I hope you pick up the signal strength call. Well, good morning to you. I didn't sleep much last night. I just went with Carl on a trip up on the Animal Planet
Agency. Yes? Hey, so what was so interesting on Animal Planet,
Carl? I'm noisy, Carl. I can hardly copy you. Why are you so noisy this morning? Normally you got a good signal.
I'm still a ways out. I'm in Hound Ridge, New York, and this is a particularly rocky area. But the question remains, what was so interesting on Animal Planet?
Nothing much, it's just I've nothing else to watch. Between that and News 12, bouncing back and forth. That's all. Like I told you, I don't sleep well at night.
Do you sleep during the day? Do you sleep during the day?
Sometimes I'll pass a few winks. But I never really require much sleep. It's just me. When I was in Queens, I would go triple D go to a diner, or a Store 24, or a 7-Eleven, like at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, well, I guess whatever gets you through the day. But that's too bad. Good sleep is a great thing.
I suppose, but only if you need it. My body just never required a lot of sleep. But by the way, your signal strength picked up a lot, Carl.
Yeah, this is a particularly rocky place in the world. It's just filled with leftover glacial rock. And it's not very hospitable to VHF transmission or reception for that matter. Although along this route I can actually hear the W1AW code practice broadcasts on 147.555. So we do have some height, but the rock kills you.
Okay, sir. Yes, I remember that frequency on 2 meters, 147.555. They send the code broadcast. Code practice and the ARRL board and get. Okay. So anyway, I was partially setting up the Collins station yesterday. I'm gonna have to get some help because it's hard to get behind the equipment. I can't stand up, I'm in a wheelchair. It's a real quandary.
Yeah, you need someone to help you with a 20 or 40 meter dipole is what you need.
Oh, that too. Absolutely. And, a lot of people have been helpful, but they can't spend a lot of time here. They work. So, I put out a request last night. I'm trying to find some retired guy who's got plenty of time. Come over here for an afternoon, you know, it's hard to find.
Who is this you were talking to? One more time.
I said I put out a request looking for a retired guy who's got more time. People come by here to help me, but they work and they're busy and they ain't got a lot of time.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, I know. People like that can be worth their weight in gold. It gets down to being, it gets down to some very simple things like, change my light bulb, you know? When you can't get around, it's kind of rough. I've had back problems, and I've also broken my leg. That, I could barely walk, much less do all that was necessary, you know?
Okay, Tom. So you can imagine what I went through. I drove in my car to the hospital, and I had back pain. I was told I had an abscess on the spine and needed emergency surgery. And 10 days later, I came home in an ambulance.
Yeah, you need to get yourself a better car service. You know, ambulances aren't exactly the best way to get from place to place. Oh, boy. Man, are there a lot of potholes. These roads are filled with potholes. But yeah, it looks like it's another really quiet morning. Probably because today's technically a holiday. And, boy, things are really quiet. Very, very few cars on the road, even less than usual.
So today is Martin Luther King's birthday. I wasn't sure if it was today or tomorrow, but very good. There on YouTube, I've done this. Look up March on Washington, what was it, 1965, I believe. He made a very, very eloquent speech. You know, the I Have a Dream speech?
Yes, I have a dream. It's a good speech. So we're just entering, into the state of Connecticut now. I've made my way through New York, and now I'm into Connecticut. So into EO, into KZ.
Okay, call N2KZ, N2EO. Very good call. Yeah, that's why the N2KZ. I thought you lived in Connecticut. I see you live in New York. You're licensed in New York. And you work in Connecticut. Very good, sir.
Ah, yes. It is true. And it's only 20 after. So I'm making pretty good time today. But yeah, it's a long ride. It's, well, maybe for me it's a long ride. I'm not used to New York City commutes anymore. When I used to go in and out of New York City, it was as much as 2 hours in each direction. Because I'd drive to a train station, take an hour-long train to Manhattan, and then walk across Manhattan to the west side. And, that was a good almost 2 hours. I'd make a 4:45 train up here. So I had to leave the house by about 4:30. And I'd be to work by 6:30. And similar commute on the reverse. So I'd be home by, 7:30, 8 o'clock, something like that. That makes for a particularly long day.
It certainly does, Carl. Absolutely. 2 hours each way. That's 4 hours commuting. That adds up. That really adds up. All right. You said you worked in cable TV. I don't even want to say. Which company do you work for? Because I've got Optimum Online here. The two channels I kind of like are News 12, the Long Island News, and Animal Planet. I've only been here like a very short time. In Queens, I have DirecTV Satellite, so it's different.
Yeah, I work for a company that we're not cable TV providers. What we do is we provide cable TV what they call program integration, which means we take all the shows and commercials and blend them into a network. We do uplinking to satellites, and we also provide satellite news gathering services. So if you have, or just satellite transmission. So if you have a soccer match in, pick a country, Ethiopia, that you want to bring to the United States and then distribute it on cable TV, we can do that. And we have big clients and small ones, too. We house, you know, I've never done a real good count of them, but it's 3 or 4 dozen networks. We've got all sorts of stuff, but the big ones are A&E and Lifetime. We do transmission for the CBS television network. We do the Yankees Yes Network, CBS Sports, a whole bunch of them. And we do lots and lots of football and basketball, to say the least. For ESPN, we work with MLB.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Okay, Paul, I get the idea. What will you said MLB you find out? Very good, John. That's an interesting twist. I didn't realize that they had these type of providers. You do anything providing to Optimum? Like I think I understand what you're telling me. Over here, I've got Optimum.
Yeah, it is those services. MLB doesn't do just baseball. They're actually a fairly diverse company. They have a center in Denver, and they do all sorts of stuff. For instance, one of their bigger clients is wrestling. So they're involved in all sorts of stuff.
Really good call, Will. I gotta wait for this number to wait for the beat. Things really changed over the years. I remember as a kid, remember Preston's new Channel 2?
Yeah.
Very simple. Yeah, you have the local channels and CBS, NBC, ABC would go network. So it was about 8 o'clock to 10 and 11 o'clock, and that was it.
Yeah, well, that was the good old days. I remember as a little kid, TV stations signing on the air at, say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But that was a very long time ago.
Absolutely, a very, very long time ago. I remember certain shows. As a kid, I used to like to watch the Bonanza. Remember the Long Green Bonanza?
Yeah, one more time on that. I'm having a hard time understanding you this morning. Audio
radio's a little muffled or something, but, or maybe it's the noise from the repeater. N2EO, N2KZ.
Okay, so I have a telephone mic. Friend of mine is gonna bring me a mic. This is a horrible mic. Yeah, playing Bonanza. Remember the show, the Western Bonanza? That was one of my favorite shows back in the 60s. Warren Green and his three sons. You know, all those guys are dead.
Well, I don't know if you have access to it, but there are virtual channels on TV. The extra digital channels that some of the regular broadcasters are broadcasting now. There's one on Channel 4 they call Cozy TV, C-O-Z-I. And there's also a couple on Channel 11. There's Antenna TV and another thing called VIT. And those stations carry a lot of old retro broadcasts. There's also another one that comes out of Bridgeport on Channel 43, of all things, called Me TV. They've got a lot of old stuff, too. So if you like old TV, it's out there. It's probably on your cable system as well, I'll bet you. Somewhere in the high-up channels you can find this stuff. But, yeah, they've got all sorts of stuff. I do think one of them reruns Bonanza and Maverick and all that stuff.
Drop that, Paul.
Yeah, exactly what are you using for a rig today? I'm curious. From N2KZ?
Oh, I forgot the model number. The pen would be Amanda. It's the current model. The mic is going bad. And a friend of mine is going to come by Tuesday tomorrow and bring me another mic. It's really in bad shape, this mic. I forget the model number of the radio. I have to hook the number. Drop in the room right now. Yeah, I gotta hook those up. You know, shows like Bonanza, the rest of the tournament on YouTube. And you know, you don't see Westerns anymore. I don't know why. They're throwing out of favor. You had not only Bonanza, you know, shows like Gunsmoke, some of the others. My friend, God rest his soul, used to watch watching Gunsmoke with Matt Dillon.
Yeah, no, there aren't shows like that at all anymore. They're all crime shows loaded with blood and all sorts of other horror. I don't know. The one thing that amazes me about TV is that there's nothing for families to watch, for kids to watch. You know, I can't see kids watching, Let's Beat Up the Corpse show. It doesn't make sense to me, but, oh well. In any case, in just a moment or two, I'm going to jump out and get a newspaper. N2EO from N2KZ.
Okay, Paul, N2KZ, N2EO. I know what you're saying. The days of the whole family with the kids getting around the TV is a thing of the past, and I think that's very bad. I really do. You probably remember shows like Art Linkletter and what were some of the other ones? Walt Disney's Wonderful World of Color. You don't see anything of its ilk anymore. Give it your newspaper, I'll stand by, and here we go.
Okay, well, it's time to run and get a newspaper. I'll be back literally in a minute or two from N2KZ. Microphone, it has that sort of sound to it.
A friend of mine is going to come by here and bring me a mic. You know the situation. I can't do anything for myself. I'm stuck. I'm really stuck and I don't like it, but what am I going to do?
Well, it's just fine because we can hear you. And all is good.
There's a fellow here that who's got a higher mic for me that actually I had given him a few years ago, and he's going to give it back to me. He's not using it, but another friend of mine has to stop by there, pick it up, and bring it here.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, very, very nice. So, where you have your antenna up on a... I forgot the story. You have it up on a filing cabinet or something? I forgot how you did it.
Yeah, it kind of was in the room. Now I'm getting a little better signal. It's outside with a fence of the ground plane. He was going to put up an antenna on Tuesday for me, but now they're predicting snow.
Oh, that stinks. Is it really? I didn't know that.
That's a good show, says Carl.
Well, I'll have to check the weather. But yeah, it's hard to work on things outdoors when it's, even when it's clear, when it's 20 or 30 degrees outside. It limits the amount of time, and it also limits how much you can weatherproof things. When I install... outdoor antennas, I'm a big fan of putting silicon goop on everything to preserve threads and to rust-proof things because otherwise, I don't know if you've ever had this circumstance in your life, but if you try taking off, say, a U-bolt, from something that's been out in the weather for 20 years. It might as well be welded, you know. You have to, like, carve it off with a rotary saw or something. It's nearly impossible to get off. So what I do is I cover everything with silicone sealant like they use in bathrooms and things like that. And it makes antennas last forever, and it also makes it really easy to take them apart when you need to work on them.
Yeah, very good call. It makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. I know, when these bolts rest over, like you said, they might as well be welded. The only thing you can do is throw them off with a drummer or something, or a nut splitter.
Yeah, Yeah, I suppose you could use a Dremel tool, but that would take a long time. Steel is hard to penetrate. And sometimes it's very difficult to get bolts off, especially when you're using big ones. I can tell you about that, too. The key to that is either having an awful lot of torque, you know, putting a extension on your tire iron, so to speak, and or hoping and praying that it breaks off so you can just remove it. But that's difficult. I mean, some of the professional antennas I deal with have bolts that are as wide as maybe even an inch across, and that's a lot to get off.
Oh, it certainly is. What you're referring to is called a breaker bar.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. We use large-sized wrenches that we sometimes increase the torque of by adding extension parts. We have a lot of leverage to it. Even then, sometimes they really take a lot to get off because, you know, a lot of weight combined with the outside rust you get from being right near the water. The Long Island Sound and everything it brings us is a corrosive beastie. It's interesting, though, from the top of our roof you can easily see Manhattan, and that's why the site was purchased.
Okay, Tom, very good. I'm truly ill. What you're talking about with those large bolts, is that about on these additions to uplink to the satellite?
Yeah, that's one place you'll see them. But you try to adjust that stuff or remove it, and it's quite a project.
And I can imagine. These dishes, are they mesh or are they solid dishes? They're probably mesh, because if they were solid, they would have some wind drag.
Yeah, these are pretty firmly mounted. They come in sections they call pedals. And we don't have any that are an open mesh dish. They're either fiberglass or they're made out of things like aluminum or even steel. It depends on the installation and the size of the dish. We have dishes that are quite sizable, especially across town. They're up to 3 meters. And, well, actually, they're bigger than 3 meters. But, great big dishes. It kind of looks like a satellite tracking station.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, Carl. The friend of mine I mentioned to you, you wouldn't know him, but he is Rockaway, Queens, M2 Mike Baker, M2 Moonbound. I talked to him maybe 20 years ago. He had brought back a 28-foot Henry dish that he got surplusing somewhere in New England. And we assembled it in his backyard. We got it up. The job never got done, but I thought it was a monster. 28-footer. Mesh dish made out of magnesium.
Yeah, that does sound pretty big. I don't know what you do with that, but it sounds pretty big. All right, very good. Well, listen, I'm once again getting pretty close to the place of work here down at the harbor. So thanks for keeping me company, and good luck with getting that microphone set up. And Hopefully you can get on HF soon. That would be very good. That'd be good for you. Give you something to think about. Work. All you need is a 20-meter dipole. You'll be all set. Plenty of people to talk to. All right, then. N2EO from N2KZ. And take care of yourself. We'll see you soon.
Hey, Carl. And thank you for the nice chat and keeping me company. You take care. We'll probably catch you tomorrow. N2KZ, November 2, Echo Oscar, same 7-3.
Even if you're the only one going in there, can miss it if when it comes up. But it's always Dunkin' Donuts. They're always well. There's a bunch of them in Hicksville that are open 24 hours. So I can always get something if I want.
And to ASS.
Okay. There's Greg in Toronto, Sierra, Sierra. Pick it up, Greg.
I just figured I'd say hello. I only got a minute until I got to run into work. So I just heard you guys in there. I said, let me just pop it in and say hello. You guys getting ready for this snow? We're supposed to get 10 inches tomorrow.
10 inches?
I heard 4 to 8. So on Channel 5, it said 6 to 10. On the radio station, it said 6 to 10. So we'll see what happens.
You know, I leave at 6:30 in the morning, so hopefully I'll get out. Although I'll probably be driving into it, I'm going to miss it. So my kids will have to shovel out this week. Go ahead, Rich.
Okay, fine, Rich. Pretty good. That's a lot of snow. I certainly hope not. There's nobody to shovel here. I can't do it, that's for sure.
Don't worry, when I get done with my shift, I'll try to shoot over that way. If I bring the plow truck, I can knock your driveway out, and I can quickly, maybe I'll throw the snowball in the back, and I can clear your ramp.
That's good, but it's not necessary. You can't.
I will see what happens. If I'm able to get over there, I'll get over there.
Pick it up. And, you're headed home from Nashville, Rich?
Yeah, we got back in from, we were out in Melville and Farmingville, coming back from Kentucky, but we parked the big truck at about 6:20 this morning. Just did some paperwork, and now I'm heading home.
Good. There's an open distributor. Go ahead, Greg.
Hello. Yeah, like I said, if we get a decent amount when I drive by there, after I get done with my shift of plowing for the town, I'll shoot over there. It won't be a heavy snow. It'll be light because it's cold. When it's cold, it's very easy to shovel.
That's very good. Hey, what's up, Mama? I'm going to get out of here because the aide is going to be getting up. I get her up. I get up. I wish she'd get up at 5 or 6, but she gets up at 7 to get me up. So let me go. I'll catch you guys later. Rich, over to you, and we'll catch you guys later on in the day. And thank you, UPS, and to you.
All right, Rich. You have a good day. We'll catch you later on. Greg, I'm just, once I get home, I have a little bit of time that I gotta shoot up to Poughkeepsie, bring my daughter back to school. She's been off since before Christmas, so it's back today.
Okay, yeah, I gotta run too. I'm at work. So, alright, I'll be clear, and I'll catch you guys later on the ride home. And to Officer CSA, I'll be clear. You have a good day.
7-3, Greg. Catch you later. K2UPS.
This is KA2YHY, listening.
Morning, Steve. K2UPS.
Morning, Rich. Just starting out here. Gonna make a stop in a little while, but no traffic this morning. Was a holiday. How are you?
Not bad. And traffic is, I'd call it on the heavier side on the LIE here, coming from Queens International, but it's moving. You know, it's not slow by any means. So, you know, volume's up, but no slowdowns, which is nice. It got done early today because of the holiday. A little bit less traffic getting onto the island and back out again. But now they say more of that nasty white stuff coming tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I heard. so we'll have to deal with that. Are you coming back from a trip?
Yeah, my work week ends on Monday morning when we come back from Kentucky, and it starts up on Tuesday morning. So I'll be leaving about 6:30 a.m. out of Queens tomorrow, heading to Chicago. And I'll probably go into some of this weather, but I think I'll get out of town before it starts. I think they're saying like late morning before it starts coming in into tomorrow night. So I might get out of Dodge before the nasty stuff hits. We'll see.
Well, I suppose that's okay. But you'll end up catching it on the highways. So let's say Parkway, both directions, very light, moving speed limit plus here.
I'm in Nassau and then on the LIE. I said it's moving. So heavier traffic than it was when we came through here about 4 o'clock this morning before we headed out east. But it's usually not too heavily traveled at that hour anyway. So this is when you expect to see a lot of stuff, but not today, which is nice. So I'll take it. Nice little sunrise I see coming up here. It's a nice color out there too. That doesn't look too bad.
Yeah, I'm heading east and I see it starting to come up, so I'll tell you though, when it does come up, I think a lot of clouds are coming up, I don't know. Sometimes you get a good shot of sun glare. But so far not too bad, not too bad.
And that's no fun when it comes right up like that at this hour of the morning. Everybody starts slowing down because nobody can see. And then you get the people who never clean their windows, who still smoke in the car, and they get that film, and then they really can't see. So the truck has some pretty good sun visors on it, which is handy. Plus, I can, with the air ride seat, I can lift it up so I'm almost sitting above the inside edge of it. I use the whole front of the roof as a sun visor, and they got a big one that flips down and covers half the driver's window, which is nice. When that sun comes beating in that window, so that gets hot. I feel like you're in a fishbowl in that thing sometimes.
Yeah, they probably have some really nice stuff in there that you don't have on a passenger car. I wish they had something that would go sort of in and around the rearview mirror, because that's where it always seems to sneak in on the eastbound trip. At least in fall, it's pretty nasty. But on the good news front, Jim will be on the air tomorrow, returning to work, and he's doing well.
Yeah, so that is good. That is good. I know I hadn't heard him in a while, and I think it was about a week or so ago I was monitoring, and I heard, I think it was you and Jay talking, that he was out. So that'll be good to have him back again. I'm sure he'll be glad to be back. Oh, maybe not. Maybe he wants to be home. I don't know. And yeah, that sun glare around the rearview mirror. Oh, I don't know if that was. I don't know if he said rearview mirror or rear window, but my wife's car, the Toyota, had little side extensions on the flip down sun visors in the front that you can slide over and block that space. What I do in the Jeep here, because I don't have that, and a lot of times that's right where the sun wants to come in, right between the two visors. I just take a piece of cardboard, cover it with felt, and shape just the way I needed it, and keep that underneath the driver's seat or the passenger seat, and when that happens, just take it out, and it sits right on top of the mirror and blocks it out real nice.
That's not a bad idea. I think I'll have to make one of those. Right now, though, when it comes up, it's way off to the south. It's not too bad, but during the fall, late summer and fall, it's right due east. It comes right at you. It comes right in that gap. So I might have to make one of those. does your vehicle have one of those gadgets, I guess, on the back of the truck that help with the wind draft to some more mileage? I don't know if you've ever seen those things. It sort of look like a reverse nose cone on the rear of the trailer.
No, we don't have anything like that on the back of our trailers. I know what Malcolm you're talking about. There's a couple of different models. The one that you see most of the time, they kind of look like an extra set of doors that are only partially open. And there's a lot of hardware behind that. I don't know how well they're going to hold up, but fortunately we don't have to deal with that. But yeah, the whole idea is to make it more aerodynamic. And there are other ones that are actually all fabric. There's no rigid material in it whatsoever, and as you go down the road, it has two fabric air scoops that are mounted underneath the trailer that pick up air and then inflate this thing behind the truck. I've never seen one yet that was fully inflated, so I don't think that's necessarily a good idea, or maybe they're just not put on right. We do have the side skirts on many of the trailers to help keep air from getting underneath trailer, but and the tractor has a fairing around both sides, and it's an adjustable one on the very top so that they can set it for the different trailer heights. Although for us, we wouldn't have to do that. Our trailers are all the same height, and make it more streamlined between the tractor and the trailer.
Yeah, you can see the spoilers on top of the tractor, you know, with a curve up. Sitting right on the roof of the tractor.
And those things actually are not good. They can cause more problems than having no wing up there at all, believe it or not. The best thing is to have a full fairing. If you just have a daycare, they can put partial fairings up there, but the idea is you want to try to match the roof of the tractor to the same height or within a few inches of the height of the trailer, so you don't get that big block of wind just slamming into the front of it. Sometimes you see they put these plastic bubbles on the front of the trailer to help alleviate some of that also. And one little interesting device, they're called air caps, that's what it is. It's little tiny triangular pieces of plastic that are roughly maybe 3 inches by five or 3 by 6 inches, and they put these things all along the trailing edge of the tractor, and if you own your own trailer or you pull the same trailer, you can also put them on the back of the trailer. And what it does is it completely breaks up the airstream that's trying to get either behind the trailer or in between the trailer and the tractor. They work really well. Amazing how it can enhance the stability of the vehicle and increase your visibility in the mirrors in heavy rains, because you don't get all that spray. It just knocks it right down.
Yeah, and I think they also improve the fuel mileage, so that's pretty good. I guess if you could save a few percent on the mileage, when that rig is running every day, it adds up a lot in a year. Rich, I'm at my stop here, so I'm going to be out of the car for about 5 or 10 minutes, but I will be back. This is KA2YHY, and talk to you in a few minutes.
Hey, I'm just pulling down my street, so hopefully you can find someone else to chat with. Maybe Jay will come on. You have a good day, and we'll catch you another morning. K2YHY, K2UPS.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
KUPS, K6, Delta, Papa, Zulu.
Hey, good morning, Al. Only got less than a minute. I'm just pulling down my street. How are you today, K2UPS?
Hey, okay, I was just down here signing some paperwork before I started. Did I mention to you that I did that lecture at HRU? You may want to see it. It's a little bit interesting. stand by one second, Rick.
Average recognized. I don't know if you mentioned it to me or not, but I had heard about it, and somebody had sent me the link on YouTube, and I already watched about, I guess, the first 25 minutes of it. I got to finish watching it. Very interesting presentation. Some of those radios I had never heard of before, and they were pretty cool.
Okay. I hope they may have gained something from it. I tried the best I could.
It was interesting, I tell you. It really was. And I found it informative, and like I said, it's cool to see those radios. So, you're picking up with Rich. I got to go. I'll just pull into my driveway. 7-3. Rich, over to you. N2EO to get it. KTUPS.
Okay, Rich. 7-3, take care. And how are you doing this morning? Your home health care aid is just getting up, so I'll be getting up.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm doing okay. I just got up this morning. I'm waiting to do a few things. Was it yesterday? I'm trying to think. Yesterday, I tried to call you. I was out in the field, and I had missed almost an hour on my way back. I tried to call you. I was going to come by and maybe help you, move some stuff around for a few minutes. You had no response, so I couldn't really help you out. I was only about 15 minutes out from where you were.
Oh, this is strange. I didn't hear the phone. What time is this?
Oh, God, let's see. It was about maybe 10:30 or so. It was about 10:30, and I went to leaving a message. And then I was beyond 28, so the thing was aborted.
All right, I'm sorry I missed you, Al. So I'm going to go on the info net tonight, see if I can get some help. I tell you, it's really a problem here, not being able to do for myself, you know?
No, I can understand. But, being so close out there, I said, okay, I'm going to swing back. I figured, well, if I could knock it off within an hour, because it was only about, maybe 10 minutes off the southern state to get by there. But no response, so I just say I keep on going. I tried.
I don't know why I didn't hear the phone. Oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible. All right. Well, where'd you go? I guess you went out to the airport.
Yeah, I went out. I wanted to run up the engine because it's very cold. I don't want to lose that battery. 24-volt batteries are very costly. And I couldn't get up yesterday because I couldn't meet my instructor, but at least I was able to run the plane and make sure everything was working, especially in this weather. And it was cold out there. I think the wind chill factor is maybe about
24 or 27. Okay, well, Barry said he was going to come out tomorrow, but I don't think I'll be able to. They're predicting 6 to 10 inches of snow.
Okay, I didn't hear the report yet. I'm sure we're going to hear it. So let me do this, Rick. I just take care of some stuff here. Hold on. Yeah, I got to do a little more before I run off at about 8 to get some breakfast. So I'll catch you later. But I just figured I wanted to mention to you. I was out all that distance. So to make a special trip, it's very hard. But being I was coming back from the field, I said, okay, I'm out here. I had to be back home before noon. So I was going to take a chance. And also verify the other numbers that we talked about. N2EOK, 6DPZ is going to be clear.
Before you run, Hal, I have Jerry DPD's phone number, but I forget, what town does he live in? I always forget.
If I'm right, it's Elmont. Jerry lives in Elmont.
That's right. I couldn't think of it. Elmont, okay. If he has a Heil mic that I had given him, he wants to give it back to me for this radio. Barry was asking me what town he's in because he may pick it up. Elmont, all right. See you later, Hal. I won't hold you. DPZ and 2 a.m.
K6 DPZ, quit.
KA2YHY, listening.
why it's why kids can't be with me. I looked at this, Steve.
I know it's a little early, but it is K-A-2-Y-H-Y. Good morning, Rich. Got an email from Jim. He will be on the air tomorrow morning.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now I can go and visit him. If I told you, my kids got me this slingback bag for my camera. And the problem is, it opens in a peculiar way, and I got distracted. I didn't zip it up, and out of the camera bag flew my camera and bent my lens. So I'll be visiting Jim. Anyway, see, I'm glad to hear that. He sounded good, and he wasn't sure what the company would want him to do, because I think he had a disability policy that kicked in. But no, that's good, and it'd probably be very good for him.
Yep, he's ready to come back. And what camera do you have? Model camera, or what? And what happened? Did it land on the lens? And where was the damage?
I have a Nikon D700. No, 7000. And I had the 18-200 tele lens on it, and it's bent. The lens mount is bent. You know, it's probably, if it were anything less, not as delicate as a lens, it's something that could probably be, you know, be pushed back. But it's the mount of the lens itself. And then other people have told me, Jim confirmed, it's not a bad idea to bring the camera and make sure that the camera mount isn't damaged. But that's what it is. It's the mount of the lens. If I put that lens on my camera, my lens is at a 80 degree bend.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I used to do that, and actually still do quite a bit of camera repair. Not full time like Jim, but good idea to check both out. And if anybody could take care of it, he's the guy.
I guess you have a good feel for cameras, and I remember now from various Cusos that you've been involved in a lot. I have a collection, and it's not anything that I collected per se. It's just a whole bunch of cameras that I'll use the term will wilt to me one way or the other. Is there a list? Is there something to go to, or is it something that at one point I can get you over here and you can say this is junk and this is good and this can be sold?
Well, if you know the model numbers, rattle them off to me. I can tell you what they're worth. I did spend a lot of time at various camera shops buying and selling and all that. I'm familiar with the value of them are. I will tell you this, though, if they're film cameras, unless they're collectible and not worth that much, do you know the model numbers?
No, there's a couple of Minox Bs there and some of the accessories that go with them, but the rest of it is just a collection. You know, of course, quite a few of the Kodaks, including the the Brownie, I guess, was the famous one, and the camera that, let me think for a minute, the camera that Kodak, I think, made that Polaroid sued for patent infringement, and he was supposed to return them all, so some of them didn't get returned. I don't know that there's any